Blog Talk Radio.
Oh my god, that's a giraffe!
Sir, you can't keep that giraffe here.
Hey, it's not my giraffe!
Coming this fall, Bill White comes back from vacation and finds a surprise. A talking giraffe is now living in his backyard.
Hey, you're a giraffe. You can't stay here.
What if I split the utilities? And even though Bill does not want the giraffe, doesn't mean he's not wanted by others. I can kill that giraffe for you.
No, you can't.
Sure I can. I got all my permits right here.
No, I mean, I won't let you.
But you said it wasn't your giraffe.
It's not.
And what happens when Bill's girlfriend meets Greg the giraffe?
I simply cannot stand that smelly animal staying here.
Hey, that's not fair. Bill lives here. Look out, because Greg is not the only party animal.
Greg, tell that chimp to get out of my tree.
But he's not my chimp.
Where are all the white women at?
That's my giraffe, this fall on NBC.
Hey, who brought the kangaroo?
Oi, where are all the white women at?
Okay, this is the V-Spot Sunday Edition. We are on the air. I'm Dr. Victator. I'm joined by Melissa Bosco Loud. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I had a devil of a time finding a female voice.
Really? No way.
It was actually me. That I finally recorded it as myself, and then we just put it through a modulator.
Oh, how funny. It sounds good.
Yeah, it's like that was what there was a girl I knew nearby, and yo, and she, yeah. You know, I talked to her, I asked her to do it, and she looked at me like I had a second head.
No.
So I just came home, and I just said, you know what, I found it, and yo, I thought about it. It worked for Shakespeare, the kids in the hall, so I figured it'll work for me.
Nice.
All right, Melissa, now, let the listeners know, I've known you since I first met you back in 2005.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You were working up at a local store, and I can remember because, you know, you were the first friend I made around here because, well, probably the first friend I made a couple of years. But at the time, I was pretty pissed off about moving over here.
Yeah.
Yeah, because my late mother had, you know, I was taking care of her at the time, you know, she was in kind of bad health. And one month she took our rent money at the house and put a deposit down in an apartment here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it was one of those deals where, you know, I wasn't really happy, but I met you and you turned out to be a pretty cool person.
Thanks.
You went to film school. You were going to film school at Calhoun, and eventually you went down to Florida at Full Sail, right?
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Go ahead. Okay. I'm just saying I did a couple years at Calhoun, and then, yeah, I went down to Full Sail for two and got a bachelor's.
Yeah, Full Sail, for the people listening, for some of my listeners, is actually the home of WWE's production studios now.
Yep. Pretty awesome.
They've been filming the NXT shows down there, and they've now got a full production program and stuff. Now, after you got out, you moved to California, and you've actually got in some pretty impressive work, you know, which I think in Hollywood just getting any kind of work is impressive.
Yeah, no, I've been pretty lucky, and, you know, hopefully it'll keep coming to me, but, I've been lucky finding some good jobs.
Now, you work for Boonham, you know, the people who do The Real World. I can't pronounce that last name.
Oh, yeah, Boonham Murray, yeah. I did a bunch of casting. I actually cast Bad Girls Club and Real World and worked on Project Runway, too, for a couple years.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Were these shows any different in working on them?
It's a lot different than what I expected when I came out here, but it's the same work ethic. You know, you got to You got to be on top of things and do pin jobs and, you know, in 5 minutes, honestly. And it's just a busy, you know, get the work done. And it was fun. I had fun. A lot of crazy people out there want to be on reality TV. But,
Is it like this? Now, do they treat you well when you're working at that level?
Yeah. I mean, I kind of worked my way up to a senior casting coordinator. So you get a lot of crappy work and stuff, but you know, you're gonna expect it when you work in this industry. Do a lot of.
But it ain't like on TV or anything, you know, where somebody comes up and just, you know, treats you like crap.
Oh no! They're really cool people. So it's a fun group. Yeah. No, they're not. They're not that mean.
So when you were working on there now, how much of the real world now on those competition shows were they actually being paid?
Yeah, they get paid. It's like, I mean, they don't get like crazy pay or anything. It's like a non-union kind of deal. So it's like, you know, like $100 a day or something like that. They, a little over minimum wage because they get to kind of do whatever they want to do. But I think it's different for every person, especially if they come back, you know.
Right, so they'll make some money, and then they'll get money on top of that if they win the competitions.
Exactly, yeah, exactly.
Okay, yeah. I was saying that a couple of years ago because I used to watch these shows all the time, and I thought, and I'd see some of these people, you know, and you kind of count in your head that had to be what they were doing for a regular job.
Exactly, yeah, they kind of have to leave everything, so they get paid to be there.
Now, you recently got done working on the Lone Ranger movie. What were you doing there?
I was one of the production assistants, so I followed them around. We went to 5 states, and I stayed in base camp and helped get the actors through the works and give them their call times and do the call sheets and prep stuff for the next day, kind of. So it was a lot of work. It was hard. But got a really cool
time. Yeah, imagine desert.
Yeah, it was hot. It was really hot out. It was a hell of a lot of fun. We had some fun trips, you know, and it was a lot of work and a lot of hours and stuff, but it was worth it. It's going to be really good, I think. I'm excited to see it.
So when you were doing that, did you meet Johnny Depp?
Yeah, definitely. I got to work with him a lot. He's a really nice guy.
Yeah, it was. So I imagine that Tonto outfit had to be uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah. He had a bunch of stuff to put on underneath there, yeah, especially when it was so freaking hot out. But, yeah, he looked good in it. His makeup took, you know, like started out at, like, 3 hours, you know, to put all that stuff on, and then eventually he started wearing it home, you know, so it would save us some time the next day. So got down to about an hour and a half of process, so...
Yeah, I always imagine, you know, cause sometimes I watch these shows, you know, like, I don't know if you've ever seen these old shows, like, you know, these old Power Ranger episodes, and this guy's wearing a monster suit, and this guy managed to do the splits and then do a backward flip.
Oh,
and
man.
I was thinking, I can't do that like I am now, and I was just thinking how miserable that must be.
It is. It absolutely is. Yeah, a lot of the stuff and prosthetics and stuff you have to wear, it's something you got to get used to.
Who's directing this movie?
Gore Verbinski. He did Pirates, the first Pirates, I think. I don't remember how many of them.
Okay, I was wondering about that. Well, you know, it's strange because Lone Ranger feels like one of those characters that should be in the public domain but isn't.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, did you know, it's like, do you know Fu Manchu's not in the public domain?
Really? That's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know how it's not, because they can't make any money with it now, and I asked Jim Starlin at the comic book convention. Jim Starlin created Thanos and a couple other characters, but I asked him about it, and I said, how come Fu Manchu's not in the public domain? He said, because he's a racist piece of shit.
Wow.
And that's true, but the public domain's littered with characters like that.
Yeah, it is.
Now, you did a couple of TV parts. Well, you did one. You were on that Gloria, what is her name? Steinem?
Which movie?
She's a feminist lawyer, and you did that show where you were sued for stealing a, where you sued somebody for stealing a karaoke song.
Oh, Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Wow, yeah, that was fun. What was it? Gloria Allred, that's what it was. Yeah.
Oh, Gloria Steinem's the feminist. She's actually a real feminist.
Oh,
yeah,
wow. This lady's like a lawyer. She's like a lawyer to some of the celebrities around here, and she thought she'd make her own show and do some kind of court TV show. I don't think she's actually a real judge, but it was fun.
Yeah.
You know, you get a character and you get to kind of do whatever you want with it. And it's just an improv show. It was fun.
Well, you know, the thing I always remember her for was she was that Simpsons episode, Behind the Laughter.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, I don't know if you remember this, but Lisa was suing, and at one point somebody told Lisa, why don't you just go write it in your book? And they had her stand up and said, that is assault.
Oh, no way.
And it said underneath,
nice.
Real feminist lawyer.
That's so perfect.
How did you get that part?
Thought I'd go back into acting for a bit, and I went through a company, and they told me to go audition for this, and it was like, you know, it was kind of a catacall of people, whoever's not union, and you go into a room, and then you bring your headshots, and then they give you a couple of scenarios, and you have to, you know, act them out as best you can, and then they decide on if they want to use you or not. And so they gave me a call back twice to do two different parts, and then they ended up giving me the Karaoke Queens one. So it was cool. Not a lot of us got parts, so it was nice I got to be part of it.
Do they do that on all the court shows?
Most of them are active. The Judge Judy, I think that's real, though. I think that's real people. Most of them are active, you know. But it's like a real case. It's a real case acted by actors.
Yeah, the old way I always heard it was basically people agree to go in and the show pays everybody's fees.
Yeah, to make the court happen.
Yeah, like if
you're right.
Yeah, something like arbitration or something, but it's like when I first heard that, I was like, wait, the court shows are fake? I don't know what else to believe in.
Yeah, that they are not cool. But, yeah, at least one of them's real. That's plus.
Okay, so did you, were you ad-libbing in there when they started?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, we get like a producer that tells us, you know, they give us like a breakdown on what the character's about, and then you kind of go from there. And I told the judge before, I thought it'd be funny if we sang because it's Karaoke Queens. So we put that in there by ourselves and, you know, made it stupid but funny. And they just wanted you to be upbeat and, you know, try and start fights and, you know, yada, yada. So, I don't know. We had fun. I had to walk in, I think, three times before they really started the show. They wanted to, you know, to talk about our characters and stuff. So, yeah, it was cool. We had the real audience.
Now, did you know who was
going to
win the case?
No, you never know. You just got to
fight
your battle.
Kind of like,
mm-hmm.
Well, it's kind of like a mock debate.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right, another thing you did was you worked on the MTV Teen Wolf show.
Yes. Oh, boy, yeah. Yeah, we did 5 months here in L.A. They moved to L.A. for this season. And so I just got off that, like, I think less than, maybe a little over a month ago. And I ran base camp on that, too. That was fun. There's a lot of episodes, and they shoot a lot of stuff in TV. So we had a lot of long days, and, I mean, they do, you know, 50, 60, 70 setups a day, which is unheard of, you know, if you're doing the feature. So it was rough. We had wolves. That was cool, some cool prosthetic stuff. And all the actors are really cool, a lot of younger guys and girls. So
How many practical effects did you get to work with?
How many what?
Like special effects, because, you know, it's a werewolf show,
yeah.
So I assume...
Yeah, we had this really cool team. It was run by Rob and all his guys, and they there were three main guys that stayed in the trailer. We had their own trailer, and they'd do, you know, the werewolf makeup and stuff, and it was really cool. They'd make this prosthetic and then build from there with all the actors. So they were there, I mean, you know, 4 out of 5 days, honestly. And, you know, they did all the claws and stuff, and they molded the teeth. And then we had a guy with contact lenses that had, like, the red lenses and stuff. So it's a really cool team. They really know what they're doing.
Yeah, I was mentioning somebody, I've been reading about it, and the show's gotten good reviews, and I know initially when people heard about it, they weren't really expecting much out of it.
Yeah, they really busted it to get it to make it look really good, you know, like over-the-top good, so I like it.
Yeah, you know, the movie Teen Wolf is one of the few movies that if I see it on TV, I will watch it till the end, or at least until the basketball montage.
Yes, definitely. I love the movie. Yes. And
okay, let me ask you this. Okay, now me and a friend of mine who's a frequent guest on the show, we have an argument. Okay, you know Mark Holden, Chubbs from Teen Wolf?
Yes.
Okay, I think he's Chubbs from Teen Wolf, and he insists that he's Francis from Pee Wee's Big Adventure.
Oh, God. Oh, I don't know.
And, you know, me and Neil have almost got, and me, do you remember Neil?
Yeah, I remember Neil.
Yeah, anyway, me and Neil have almost gotten into fist fights about this, and Neil will just take a beating into pulp to not acknowledge this.
No way. Well, I don't know.
It's a very contentious situation with the three of us.
No.
And mind you, if I go to prison for this, they're going to go around asking. They say, "What's the big fat guy in for?" Said he killed somebody over Chubbs from Teen Wolf, and I figure that's going to give me a wide berth.
No, that's great. I don't know.
When you finish working on a show, are you able to watch the episodes on TV and enjoy it, or is it one of those things that all you can remember is the work and seeing how the sausage was made?
Yeah, it's more of a, I'm still looking at the behind the scenes. I can't ever really look at it like, you know, like a full product. So I'm always saying, oh, that's when that happened, and oh, that's when we were, you know, 2 hours behind and stuff like that. So I can never really enjoy it. But it's nice to see the final product. I definitely watch it.
Yeah, maybe if you have a little more time after, maybe if you get some time, you probably need some time away from it.
Exactly, yeah, to enjoy it. Yeah.
Yeah, because I know I've worked on a few things that I wasn't very confident in at the time, and then I'll go back after about a year or two, and I'll look at it, and I was like, yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, now, I remember you mentioned, like, a long time ago that your husband worked on the Phantom Menace 3D conversion.
Yes, yeah, he's doing all the visual effects. Well, I mean, he's been doing visual effects for like, 5 years now. So it was cool getting to work on that and having George Lucas, you know, talk about his shots to him. So that was kind of cool.
He met George Lucas.
Yeah, how freaking awesome.
Yeah, I mean, that's really cool. I was actually mentioning that to Dale one day. We were talking about it, which I like Phantom Menace. I really keep this on down low, but I didn't see Star Wars till 1997.
Really? What? Wow.
I don't know how. Yeah, I never saw it. My parents never rented on video, so I saw it in theater, and I enjoyed it. But mainly, the prequels have been what I've seen in first run theaters.
Yeah. Wow. Well, the first three original were still the best, but I think they wanted to do all six of them, you know, into 3D conversion. So they started, you know, at the last one and went back.
With Disney buying LucasArts, has this project, are they still going to go forward with this project?
I don't know. It's kind of at a standstill, I think, right now. Joe actually stepped away from the project, too. So I don't know what's become of it since. But they were still in talks of getting through the other ones. I just don't know how long it's going to take.
Yeah, because I know a lot of stuff got put on hold or got changed around they got rid of LucasArts video game division.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, all sorts of stuff. And now they're talking about the new movie coming out, you know, they're going to undo the expanded universe or basically just make all the big books non-canon. And that's kind of put a lot of people, that's kind of started up a shitstorm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can imagine. Wow.
Yeah, which... I mean, I guess you can't be, I don't think, you know, you could expect them to be locked into the books 100%, but at the same time, you ought to at least go to an effort to preserve some of it.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so, now, when you were doing Project Runway, was that when it was, were you in New York for that?
We went from L.A. to New York to do, like, the finale and stuff, but we tried everything else in L.A. But it was really cool seeing, you know, Fashion Week in New York and stuff, and the whole, you know, red carpet event. That was fun. And it was, I was an executive assistant on it, so I was assistant. We had two executives, and just kind of helped them get stuff going and helped with the cue cards. And I was one of the first ones to know, you know, who's in and who's out of the next round and stuff. So it's kind of cool being privy to that.
Was it difficult to adjust to being in a large city like Los Angeles?
No. I mean, I've always loved, you know, I guess bigger cities. So it was, but it's ridiculously big here. There's always something new. I've been here for 5 years and I still see new stuff every day, even though I go on the same streets. So it's this mass expansion of a place. So it's big, yeah. But it's nice. You can always just drive somewhere and see something new.
Yeah, I tell you, Huntsville's about as big as I like to get.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. I miss that place.
Yeah, because Decatur's becoming too crowded for me because they keep trying to double the Beltline.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's like one of these things. I think it's kind of reached its limit. You know, like they're tearing this bridge apart. It's like Decatur's kind of like a big city stuffed into a medium-sized town.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. Yeah, exactly. Wow.
Yeah, what are you, do you have any future projects in mind, or are there any personal projects you hope to get started on?
Yeah, I'm working on the Paul Thomas Anderson's next movie right now. We're about 20 days into shooting. We still have another 25 left. So that's been fun. I'm running base camp on that, too. So, again, I get all the actors through hair and makeup and make sure they have their call times the next day and make sure they don't need anything. You know, it's just that's what I do on this one. But I you know, I'm hoping to do some AD work in the future. With a couple of my friends, we're going to start a project maybe soon. So, hopefully get something off the ground soon. I'd like to get back into ADing, really.
Is this the Paul Anderson that did There Will Be Blood, or the Paul Anderson who directed Mortal Kombat?
No, There Will Be Blood, yeah.
That's actually one of my favorite jokes, though, confusing them.
Seriously, that's actually really funny, yeah. And the Mortal Kombat dude, go ahead, Victor. Yeah.
No, go ahead, you can go ahead.
The guy in Mortal Kombat is one of the... Oh, crap, what's his name? I can't remember his name. But he's in the main Mortal Kombat. He's our, he's one of the main guys on Teen Wolf now. Cool guy.
Yeah, I was going to say, I have this gag where I confuse those two guys, and I also confuse Warden Downey Jr. with Robert Downey Jr.
What? No.
I'll say, you know, for all of, you know, he looks a lot better than he did in the 80s.
Oh, jeez. Nice.
Or when I heard he was going to be an Iron Man, I said, wait, I thought he died.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's funny.
Okay, so have you done any script writing?
No, not a huge fan. I like to read scripts and stuff, but I never really write anything on my own.
Have you seen any really good scripts since you've gotten out there that haven't actually been made or anything?
No, I guess not. I haven't read them enough to really, you know, I mean, there's so many creative ideas in Hollywood, and they're still doing a bunch of, you know, the same stuff over and over again. So I hope more stuff gets out there that's new and original, you know, but because it's definitely out of there. Here in L.A., there's so many good writers. So I'm hoping some stuff will come to light soon. There's a lot of great stuff out there that people are just waiting to get made.
You know, I think one of the good things about the time we live in is that things have become so open now that you can use alternate means to get your stuff out there.
Exactly, yeah.
Where you won't necessarily become rich, but you can have some creative fulfillment.
Yeah, exactly. You get at least some people to see your stuff, and I think that's the whole, you know, the whole point.
Melissa, let me take a real quick break. We're going to play another episode of the Giraffe Show.
Copy that.
Bill White has discovered a new unwanted house guest.
Greg, why did you tell that hippo he could stay at my house?
Oh, come on. Tony's a good guy. Also, he scares me.
He is breaking my furniture. Oh, he didn't even try to sit down that time.
You got any more pizza rolls?
What, you ate them all?
No, I threw them at that stupid chimp. I hate anchovies.
Oh, no, Jim. Don't wipe yourself off on my drapes.
Later that night...
Greg, I can't sleep. He's still recording his stupid podcast.
If the boys' club in Washington was fair, Nancy Pelosi would be our greatest president.
Greg, do you hear some loud crunching?
Well, I'm trying to sleep. It's rude of you to keep waking me up.
The next morning...
No! My Addams Family pinball machine!
You need to put more gumballs in there. These old ones tore up my insides.
So, you need a hippo killed.
Well, not really killed, but kind of maimed, incapacitated, something like that.
I'll do it and kill the giraffe for free.
No, not the giraffe. I keep telling you, he stays alive.
But you said it's not your giraffe. Oh, never mind.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Rip. Where's your shotgun?
I'd rather not say.
Well, I guess it's time I called in a favor.
Greg, why did you send the elephant into my house?
To beat up Tony!
Hey, what's going on right here?
That elephant is beating up Tony!
That don't quite look like a fight to me.
Greg, is that a girl elephant?
Well, Well, the girls are bigger.
Oh, yeah, daddy like.
Look, Neil.
It's Bill.
Right, I'm moving out of your place. Me and Summer are getting married. I'll send you a bill for those gumballs that made me sick.
Well, all's well that ends well. Right, Bill? 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 6 months later. I'm so glad Tony settled down.
Well, it is a shotgun wedding after all. Or as we stay down under, a boomerang bangaroo.
That kid don't look like Tony.
Huh, now you mention it, the kid does have antlers.
I can't believe they were white. She's behind me, isn't she?
Get down there! Help!
I always cry at weddings.
Okay, we're back.
Nice.
You know, that's been a learning experience. Like recording it, we're still kind of learning. Like, initially we were recording it in sequence.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I also learned that Neil's a much better voice actor than I am.
No, you guys are great. That's too fun.
Yeah.
What made
you
guys come to the show? Oh, sorry, go ahead.
We just came up with stuff. Like, we were in the car, and we would come up with little jokes and things, and we figured with the podcast, this would be a good place to implement it.
Definitely, yeah. Very fun.
Yeah, we have one coming up with we're doing a parody of very special episodes, and I'm trying to explain to Neil that we need to play the drunk driving aspects completely straight.
Mm-hmm.
did you ever watch the show Fame?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you remember in the last season when they killed off Nia Peoples?
No, I don't, but continue.
It was just a very dour, dark episode of a television show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's kind of what I was trying to do a parody of, or that's what we're hoping to do anyway.
Yeah,
the thing I discovered, I can do about two voices, though, unfortunately, you can kind of tell it's me, but I guess that's the price you pay for having a distinct speaking voice.
No, but it works. It's funny. Yeah.
Yeah, well, if I ever figure out how to do telerecording, if we have a part open up, I'll contact you.
Sounds good. That'd be fun.
Yeah, you know what? We're about to run out of time. They usually cut us off at 46 minutes. Melissa, thank you for joining me. It was wonderful hearing you again.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for having me.
All right, is there anything you would like to promote before you go?
No, I guess just go watch The Lone Ranger. It's going to be fun.
All right, will do. The Lone Ranger should be in theaters fairly soon, and Teen Wolf, the first season, is on Netflix.
Woohoo! Awesome. Thank you.
All right, you have a good day.
Yeah, you too. Talk to you later.
All right, and tomorrow night, me and a guest will be discussing the X-Men cartoon.